I returned to the front of the house and began pacing around near the point where three pasture trails merged with the main road out of the ranch. Slim would be coming down one of those roads, and I wanted to be there when he came through. I was pretty sure that he would stop anyway and honk his horn and call for me because, well, by then he would have missed me and would be frantic with concern. But I didn't want to take any chances on getting left. So I paced around in the middle of the road, waiting, watching, listening. In the course of listening, what I heard was Mary D. Cat crying under the house. It didn't bother me at all. Even though we heads of ranch security have a warm side to our nature, and we are famous for being kind to children. I mean, that's just bred into us. To become a head of ranch security, a guy must take a solemn cowdog oath to protect and defend and be nice to all children, even the ones who are bratty. But we also have this other side, which is cold and hard, and made of quarter-inch steel armored plate. It allows us to conduct slashing interrogations and solve murder cases without the slightest quiver of emotion. We're talking about your basic hard-boiled ranch dog here, and listening to sad stories is just part of the job. It was this cold, hard side of my nature that greeted the sobs of Mary D. Cat. Yes, I heard them, but they bounced off my steel-plated eardrums like, I don't know what, but they bounced off. I continued to pace in the snow. Don't get me wrong. Making ladies cry had never been high on my list of fun things to do, even lady cats. Maybe some dogs get a kick out of it, but I don't. I do it when I have to. It just goes with the job. Every once in a while, you make a lady cry. It can't be helped, and I wished she would stop crying. Hey, I told the truth, is all. If she couldn't handle the truth, that was her problem. I had problems of my own. What was keeping Slim so long? I cocked my ear and listened. Crying, weeping, sobbing. The only thing more annoying than a cat that rubs is one that crawls under a house and cries. I have absolutely no use for... I changed the direction of my pacing ever so slightly and eased over to a point in front of the house. Kitty, you can't help it that you're weird. You do the best you can with what you have, which isn't much. More blubbering. Look, everyone in this world has to be something, and you happen to be a little crazy. It's no big deal. More blubbering. I slipped under the fence and stood in front of the hole in the foundation. I wish you wouldn't do that. I mean, you can't just fall apart when somebody tells you the truth. I gave you my honest opinion. What more can I say? No change. Look, will you say something? I'll be leaving soon and... I stuck my head into the hole. I couldn't see her in the darkness, but I could hear her loud and clear. Look, my car and driver will be here any minute now. I'm a very busy dog and I don't have time to waste on crybabies and ball bags. At last, she spoke. Through tears, of course.
I'm not a crybaby or a ball bag. I'm just a poor, lonely cat who's been marooned for 2 long years. And I want a bite of cheese and a friend. Nobody cares.
Yes, that's sort of the bottom line, isn't it? Well, I'm going to be leaving here in a minute, so let's try to wrap this deal up. I'll be coming back to feed the cows another day. You work on your problems and get all the tears out of your system, and maybe we can sit down and talk about it. What do you say to that? She said, more tears. Look, Cat, do you want to resolve this thing or not? I don't have all day. My ride, well... Just then, I heard the hum of a motor. Well, there's my ride. I have to go. Have a great day. She bawled louder at that. Well, what do you want me to say? Have an awful day? Okay, have an awful day. Adios, goodbye, hors d'oeuvre. Too bad for her. I had done my best. I wiggled my way out of the hole. I had gotten myself a little farther into the house than I'd planned. I wiggled my way out of the hole, put Miss Mary D. Cat and her problems behind me, and saw the camo stealth army truck go down the road and disappear behind a curtain of snow? Hey, wait a minute! Why didn't he stop or blow his horn? How was I supposed to... I'd been waiting out there in the middle of the road. I went dashing away from the house and down the road. I barked. I yelled. I went to turbo lightning speed and chased the truck half a mile until my turbo lightning turned to turbo mush. Exhausted, I stopped. And there, standing in the middle of the road, in the silence, with snowflakes falling on my nose, I had to face the awful truth. Slim hadn't even noticed that I was missing. He had left me, and I was now marooned and abandoned, a dog without a home or a country. And for some reason, I found myself thinking about cheese. Cheese? That was ridiculous, totally absurd. I didn't even like cheese. It was too hard to chew and it gummed up my teeth. Hence, it followed from simple logic that I would not allow myself to think about it. Hey, I not only didn't like cheese, but I knew that craving cheese was one of the first symptoms of... It was worse than fleas or ringworm, and I didn't want it. And I would not allow myself to become a victim of cheeserosis. No way. That was all right for weirdo crybaby cats, but not for dogs. Furthermore, just because I was now marooned and abandoned didn't mean that I was going to rush back to the house and establish diplomatic relations with Mary D. Cat. No thanks. In the first place, there was a very high probability that Slim would discover his error and come streaking back to the canyon country to rescue me. Hence, my period of exile would probably not last long. A couple of hours at the most. Nothing to be alarmed about. In fact, at that very moment, I turned and looked down the road and didn't see him coming. But then again, I really hadn't expected him back so soon anyway, so no big deal there. In the second place, I had always considered myself a very self-sufficient dog, the kind of dog who enjoyed his own company and could always find ways of passing the time. Now, your ordinary dogs, your poodles and your house dogs, your little yip-yips, they couldn't spend a minute alone without going into a panic. Why? Because they are such boring little mutts that to spend time alone with them is to die a slow, boring death. Not me, fellers. When I'm alone, I'm in the company of the most interesting and resourceful dog I know. So the thought of being marooned with me for an hour or two, or half a day, or a whole day, or even several days, or a week. Okay, maybe it wouldn't be all that great, but I knew that I could handle it. Self-discipline, that's a secret. And I had gobs of self-discipline. And I sure as thunder didn't crave the company of a sniveling piece of cheese. The company of a cat, I should say. A sniveling cat. And I didn't go streaking back to the house. I walked back to the house. And did I go straight to the hole in the foundation and tell my sad story to Mary D. Cat? No, sir. I did not. I established a temporary camp in the middle of the road and didn't even get close to the cheese. Close to the house, I should say. Didn't even get close to the house. No, I dug myself a little bed in the snow right in the middle of the road where Slim could find me when he came roaring back He would be so embarrassed and angry with himself and apologetic. Imagine him leaving his head of ranch security at the Hodges place. He would beg for understanding and forgiveness. I would grant it, but not right away. These wounds take time to heal, and I wanted him to learn his lesson from it. I curled up in the snow and watched the snowflakes fall and kept my eyes locked on the point where the road disappeared into the soft curtain of cheese. Of snow, I should say. The point is that I was self-sufficient and perfectly content to spend a couple of hours by myself, thinking deep thoughts and laughing at my own wit. And the hours dragged by, and I thought I would go nuts. Where were they? Why hadn't they come streaking back to save me from this horrible silence and isolation? Hey, darkness was falling across the canyon, and the coyotes were howling. And there I was, marooned and exiled and abandoned. And I wanted some cheese. And suddenly it occurred to me that Mary D. Cat needed a friend. Someone to listen to her sad tale of woe. A soldier to cry on. And what the heck, I had a few minutes to burn, so I hiked over to the house and looked her up.